Rolling on here. Actual second hour, but might be the first for some people. We had a three-hour special today with Russo and Rizzo live here on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. Tina Costanza joined us for the previous hour. She'll be back in tomorrow for an hour. She was great as always. A little sports time. Thursday night football tonight. Buccaneers, Falcons. Falcons sitting at 2-2, and the Buccaneers sitting at 3-1. They face off on Thursday. Amazon Prime, Thursday night football in Atlanta tonight. Baker Mayfield's been the topic of a lot of conversations for a couple of reasons. I think one thing is Baker has been that type of guy that has found success on whether you want to call it three, four teams. And, you know, of course, Darnold's been that topic of conversation as well as Geno. They've been the story of the leagues. Baker is in a weird category because you don't really know how to rate him.
Right.
And you're a Browns guy. You've seen him at the beginning. You saw him have some success, ups, downs, in, out. Now Baker's seeing all the success with Tampa Bay. It's almost a tricky spot to figure out where he lands on a ranking or the top rating, whatever you want to call it.
It's been a crazy topsy-turvy kind of fandom I've had with Baker.
Weird career he's had.
Loved him at the beginning. Hated him at the end with the Browns because of the way he acted, playing injured. I think he was a little immature. A lot of it was on the team, too.
He's immature at Oklahoma.
It ended ugly. You know, when it ended, we despised him. But now, time has passed. I'm honestly happy for him. I really am. I'm happy for Mayfield. I'm happy he's found success. I'm happy that the Buccaneers have embraced him, too. I think that's probably the biggest thing with Mayfield and why the Buccaneers are unlocking something with him. The Browns, I could argue the Browns never fully went all in on Mayfield. He went through three head coaches. You know, Colin, what's the famous thing with young quarterbacks? That quarterback's been through three head coaches, three offensive coordinators. That was Baker, man. That was Baker's first couple of years
with
the
Browns. And we've seen it's impossible to succeed in that spot.
It is, but I could argue all he needed was stability and someone to believe in him. Sometimes these guys, like, I know we don't think Tua is probably one of the more mentally strong players out there, but I think Tua got unlocked when McDaniel said, brother, I believe in you.
And still some confidence in him.
Yeah, and I think that's all Mayfield needed. I mean, 984 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. We're 4 games into the season. Those are really good numbers, man. He's winning football games.
He's won playoff games. He's won 2 playoff games, 2 different franchises.
Yeah. He's beaten the Eagles twice in 2 years. Say what you want about the Eagles, how they're washed up. Good team nonetheless. And 3-1 this year at the top of the NFC South, it looks good now.
Here's the thing about Baker, too, is now the question resides, I think people can sometimes jump to some conclusions about certain quarterbacks and where you rank them 4 games in. Of course, he's had a hot start. Him, Darnold, like those guys have seen a ton of success. When guys statistically like Mahomes or, you know, Lamar, guys who we've known as the upper echelon of players haven't necessarily lived up to the expectations that are usually on them. Now it's a situation in which, all right, Baker's been with this team now for 2 years and has won a playoff game, is seemingly trending upward. Where does he sit amongst the NFL regime of quarterbacks?
The upper echelon, right?
And what are the upper echelons? That's the real question. Where does the line start with Baker?
Let's go through it, man. I mean, I always say the top quarterbacks in the league. Mahomes is in his own stratosphere. He's got his own planet. 2 straight Super Bowls, MVPs, all the accolades.
Would you consider Mayfield the top 10? Is that where we enter?
I think we got to start there because I don't think anyone would really argue with Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, I'm not the biggest Herbert guy.
So you want to start backward and go down. All right, so let's do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's name the non-negotiables.
Let's
the non-negotiables are Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson, Burrow probably.
It is Burrow.
So that's 4.
Yep.
I would say Matt Stafford's in that. I would take Matthew Stafford over Baker Mayfield. I'm higher on him than most, but
I guess it's a hot take. I probably would take Baker over Stafford at this point.
I wouldn't.
I would.
How do you think Baker? I mean, with McVay,
Baker won a game with McVay.
True, but not this team. They have nobody playing for them. I give Stafford a lot of credit. He's won a Super Bowl.
Yes, I love Stafford. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up. One of my favorite tandems were Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford. I just think the age thing. I can't get past the age thing.
I guess the way I look at it is like if I'm taking somebody for the year,
I'd still go with Mayfield over Stafford. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
I wouldn't do that.
All right.
C-Cat, would you take Mayfield over Stafford at this point?
I would take Stafford, but he is not inside my top 10. To give you a hint where I think of Baker Mayfield. Okay, Stafford not in my top 10, but
all right,
he's
so
above Baker.
Let's level this. So let's do the non-negotiables. Let's do this as a group. So if we're going to name the top quarterbacks before we take Mayfield, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson. Those are the four non-negotiables, right?
I agree.
So, and then you go from there, and now it gets a little trickier because certain people, I think you put Aaron Rodgers are there.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
I'm the only one who doesn't agree with that, but it's
you would take Baker Mayfield over Aaron Rodgers right now?
I would. I would.
Put Baker on the Jets right now, and they're not a better team.
Or put Rodgers on the Buccaneers. I think Rodgers.
I just like
putting Brady.
Those are all valid points, and maybe my distaste for Aaron right now is because of the Jets, but Baker, I think, is won more games. He's looked better in games. I think his offense has looked better in games.
We're four games in.
Okay.
But that's fine. Hey, we'll add an asterisk.
Majority rules.
We'll add an asterisk.
That's fine. And this isn't me saying Aaron Rodgers isn't a good quarterback. I want that to be clear.
All right. CJ Stroud, we'd put there. Agree?
Above Baker.
Yes.
Above Baker. I agree. Yeah.
So CJ Stroud, we'd throw in there.
How many we got so far?
Well, including Rodgers, that's six. And then from there, Jordan Love, would we take him over Baker?
I would too. I think Packers know more about football than myself does, and if they're able to commit to a guy after 10 good weeks of football, all right.
I would.
Mike, you agree with this, yeah?
It's close, though.
I would take Love, and he's won a playoff game already,
I want that to be out there, though. I'm taking Love, but it's closer than I think people.
All right.
It'll be on the record. That's out there.
It's close.
So now,
C-Cat, it's close.
All right. So now we go from there. We got those down. Here's the guys we have ahead of Mayfield at the moment: Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Rodgers, Stroud, and Love. Herbert, yes or no?
You don't know how bad I want to put Baker ahead of him, but I will take Herbert.
I will take Herbert. It's hard to. Herbert's been the trickiest player in the NFL to grade because he's the hypothetical Hall of Famer.
Correct. The social media quarterback, whatever you want
but
to call him.
We know
him.
How talented he is, but he hasn't won a big game in his career. In a weird way, I might go Mayfield here.
Because if you're gonna put
either of those two teams on all 32 teams, I think Mayfield would see more success in more spots than Herbert would.
We substituted Rodgers in for Tampa Bay. Let's substitute Baker with khaki pants in Los Angeles. Does it look better? Does it look worse?
It's too much of a hypothetical. I don't know. And Herbert can't stay healthy, too. Herbert's always banged up. Always banged up. So where do you stand on this, C-Cat? I'm teetering on, based on play, like right now, the last year and a half, which I think is enough of a sample size, I'd probably go Mayfield.
I am teetering as well, and I lean Herbert, but I'm not going to complain whatsoever if you put Baker over. If you're more convicted in it, Riz, you're going Baker?
I think we're all tough on this, so let's asterisk it. All right.
Yeah, I think Herbert. It's like Jordan Love. This is where he belongs, though. Would you agree? This is the echelon where he belongs.
Jared Goff.
Mayfield.
I'd go Goff.
I'd take Goff.
Goff's a straight winner. He just threw a perfect game against a good defense.
I'd take Baker. You guys know I don't necessarily rate Goff, but
I like Goff.
Maybe that's wrong of me. I just go back to the Super Bowl. Now, it was the Patriots, okay? Yeah. I go back to how he outplayed his team in the Super Bowl. And if McVay proved if he had a good enough quarterback, he'd be able to win a Super Bowl, and he did with Stafford.
But to Goff's credit, Goff has gotten to basically the Super Bowl's front door with two different franchises.
Yes, but last year, I know it was more or less Dan Campbell's fault not taking points, but like no one said the Lions' offense just had to turn into a dud in that second half either. They really struggled.
But you're talking about like levels of the NFL season that Baker hasn't approached.
I'd rather get there than lose.
Goff's had better teams.
And you mentioned that Steeler game was COVID, and that Steeler offense was an absolute nightmare.
They started, if I remember the COVID year correctly, the Steelers started like 10-0 that year.
Yeah,
and then that's when they fell off the map,
and Roethlisberger had an awful game.
I mean, he was crying. Dude, as Browns fans, our joy, anyone that's my age or joy, was watching Roethlisberger cry on the sideline after that game. That guy terrorized our entire childhood. All right, boogeyman.
So, Jalen Hurts.
This is...
At this point in time, I think Mayfield is a no question here.
Yeah, right now, gun to the head. I'm going Mayfield.
I'm just thinking last year and a half is my sample size.
Look at head to head.
Yeah, true. Head-to-head, and I also think sample size, it can't be the four games. I would give it maybe a year and a half is probably a good, you know, stretch. I would take Mayfield here.
That'll make Philly fans wet the bed at night because they would agree with you. Right now, they would take Baker Mayfield over their guy, Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I'm with you.
It's got to be Baker because of the head-to-head.
All right. So Jalen is not ahead of him.
So, all right. So correct. What we have currently ahead of Mayfield, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, Herbert is an asterisk, and Rizzo is up and down on Rodgers.
And Goff.
Goff. I would put that's Goff
10.
Above. Yep.
So that's 10. So Baker's fitting, slotting in at like 11. I think he's top 10.
That's 9.
Okay. Sorry.
Were you putting Kyler ahead of him?
No. I think they got to move on from
him. I think Kyler's underrated, but I would agree with you.
Weird little Oklahoma boys.
We haven't included Stafford yet. I think Stafford, without a question, I would take over Mayfield right now.
We talked about it. I think he's flirting with 12 to the 10 range right now.
I think a lot of GMs would take. I think Dan Campbell if the Lions can make a decision, they would probably take Stafford right now. Stafford is a proven
winner.
But they
just paid Goff.
We haven't talked about Brock Purdy or Kirk Cousins either.
Yeah. Purdy's Cousins, I would say no at the moment because of his health.
I like Purdy.
Purdy's looked really good this year without the weapons that people use to crush.
I think I would take Purdy over Mayfield.
My question is this. And this is something we would ask in Cleveland a lot. How would Mayfield look in Kyle Shanahan's offense? I feel like he'd be the ultimate Shanahan quarterback. Would he not? Would Mayfield not be that ultimate Kyle Shanahan?
But Purdy's played well in playoff games. I think he's underrated. They lost when he wasn't playing 2 years ago. I think Purdy is super underrated. I think people can kind of, their whole team is broken up right now, and he's still playing pretty well. I would take Purdy over that. I'm surprised in the Stafford take. I think Stafford is head and shoulders ahead of anything that Mayfield has, number one, done, and two, nobody does more with less than Matthew Stafford his whole career.
I think 3 years ago. I'm 100% taking Stafford 3 years ago. I mean, Colin, he's thrown for 2 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? Like,
with as many injuries as they had faced, he has been he's kept them in a couple of games now. That Bear game, I know, is up and down, but nobody has faced more injuries than them. I know he's got a good head coach, but he beat the Niners too in tremendous fashion. He took them down the field against the Lions and could have won that game, probably should have. I think and they played great in that playoff game last year. I am in on Stafford.
Quick last thing, just very quickly. Stafford has done a great job of leading that team down the field. The problem is, Kyle, they've been struggling to punch it in the end zone.
Yeah.
They can't get in the end zone. They're settling for 3 too many times.
Continuing the conversation, Baker Mayfield taking on the Atlanta Falcons tonight on the road. Buccaneers, Falcons. Thursday Night Football, 8:15 on Amazon Prime. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. We got Mike Tannenbaum joining us next.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Rolling on here, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. Joined now by ESPN NFL insider, former executive vice president of football operations for the Dolphins, former general manager of the New York Jets, Mike Tannenbaum. Joined us. Mike, how you doing today?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
So, appreciate you joining us. We'll start with what we're going to see tonight. Amazon Prime, Thursday Night Football, 8:15. You got the Buccaneers and the Falcons going at it in Atlanta. Baker Mayfield's been a topic of conversation so far this year, Mike, and we've been talking about it throughout the first segment. It's been a weird career for him, so it's sort of hard to grade and sort of hard to put him in an echelon of quarterbacks because you see a lot of great, you see a lot of iffy, and he's been on a lot of teams. Where would you sort of put Baker Mayfield at the moment? It doesn't need to be just this year, but if you were a general manager like you once were, where would you put him in terms of the echelons of quarterbacks? Around what ranking would you have Baker Mayfield?
I put him up there pretty high, Colin. Here's why. You know, I think there's 3 teams when you look at Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, and Miami with Tua's unfortunate injury situation where you say to yourself, Baker Mayfield's probably a B player somewhere between 10 and 15, but when you combine the fact that he's making $30 million a year and some of these guys are making north of $50 million, and I can have starters
Baker Mayfield, I think his value becomes even more augmented.
Mike, did we lose you there? Are you connected through on something?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. So what I was saying is I think there's great value there because of what he brings to the table in terms of how much he costs compared to some of these other quarterbacks that, you know, cost a lot more than he does. And that's like three quality starters when you think about the difference between like $30 million and $55
million. Mike, what has impressed you the most about him this year and since he's joined Tampa Bay?
I think the fact that he's actually gotten better relative to his decision-making is a lot more crisp. Mike, just in terms of you could see him processing information a lot faster. He's a lot more confident. And look, he's never going to be a great athlete, but I think he's functional enough to move in the pocket the way we saw Drew Brees do for quite a while.
Another quarterback that we were sort of indifferent on in terms of where Mayfield would rank in comparison to them, one of course, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. I'm on a team that I would take either of those quarterbacks ahead of Mayfield at the moment. But guys like them, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, is he on that level or is he sort of a step behind those guys in terms of who you take?
Yeah, I think context is everything. You know, if I could have Matt Stafford for a game, yeah, I'd love to. But, you know what, Colin, if I could have Baker Mayfield for the next 3 years at $30 million a year, I'm probably taking him at least over Stafford. You know, Goff hasn't played great this year. So, look, I think Mayfield's certainly working his way towards Goff. And I just think when you watch Stafford, it looks like he's close to the end.
Interested to hear what maybe you think on Herbert, Mike, because, I mean, you look at Mayfield, he's won two playoff games. You know, the only time we've seen Herbert in the playoffs is when they completely lost it all in that second half to Collins Jags. Is Mayfield on the level of Herbert?
Yeah, I wouldn't go there. I think Herbert has a chance to be an absolute superstar. Well, he has to stay healthy, but I think he has a chance to be really special. He hasn't done it consistently yet, but I think the sky's the limit for him, and I think he's young, and I think his skill set is extremely rare, and there's no doubt that's one of the main reasons Jim Harbaugh left Michigan.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question off of that. Is Harbaugh the one to kind of unlock Herbert a little bit?
I think so. I mean, you look at what he did with, you know, Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, amongst many other guys. I think absolutely Herbert will thrive long-term under Jim.
Mike, it's been difficult and tricky, like you alluded to with Jared Goff, you know, not playing well. A couple of quarterbacks here have, I call it a slow start, but we're 4 weeks into the season. Scoring's down, passing yards is down. People want to bring it up to too high defenses and this and that and the other, or whether just quarterback play has generally dropped down a little bit. What's your take on this? What's your takeaway in terms of what you've seen, not only from the quarterbacks, but also from the offenses? It's definitely a step slower than what we've seen 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Is this because we've left an era of the, you know, the brooding available pocket passers? What's your takeaway to the, I guess, the dramatic fall off of offensive production around the NFL?
I think some of it's contextualized by like time of the year. Like you look at Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins on opening day, and I thought that was coaching malpractice. I thought those were guys that were clearly not ready to play coming off of major injuries, and they played better. And I think sometimes, I think Troy Aikman made this point, seems like teams are looking at the first month of the season now as the preseason, which doesn't make sense to me when, you know, the margins between winning and losing in our league are so small. So I think that's a big factor, and I think scoring will pick up as the year goes on.
Mike, do you think we're going to see some points tonight in this Thursday matchup? We talked a lot about Mayfield. You got Cousins on the other side, big divisional matchup tonight.
Yeah, I think this Tampa defense, guys, is really underrated. I think they're fast. I think they can get pressure. Now, I think what Kansas could be out again for Tampa, who's an underrated player. Winfield's been out. He's been hurt. But I think this is a team that's fast and tough. And I don't know. I am not sold on Atlanta. Go back a week ago. They needed that fumble punt. They needed a really weird pick six. I'm not buying Atlanta yet. I like Tampa. I think they're the better team. I think they're the tougher team.
Mike, how would you handle the situation with what's going on with the Jets in terms of Robert Saleh, Aaron Rodgers, a bit of a civil war going on to the media about, I guess there's a power dynamic struggle, something that has really followed Rodgers with most of the head coaches he's had in his career. Roger says one thing, Saleh says another. Roger takes blame for this, but Saleh's at fault for that. How would you take it if you were really in charge there, and what's your perspective on it?
Yeah, you know, like for me, I think what Saleh said after the game was just totally unacceptable. You know, like, guys, players need to be held accountable. And, you know, you got to play at a high level. And if cadence is one of the weapons to make a difference, like, let's become experts in cadence. Again, it goes back to, were they really prepared on opening day? Like, that's the job of a head coach. Now, with that said, look, I ran a team in that market, guys. Like, you got to be on the same page with the quarterback. You got to know what to say, when to say it. You can have disagreement, but you want to do that behind closed doors.
Mike, how much does Nathaniel Hackett really do?
Well, look, I mean, we know that Aaron Rodgers has a lot to say as it may relate to play calling, as it relates to roster construction. So, look, if they win, it'll be good for everybody there. If they don't win, it's going to be probably a lot of changes throughout that organization.
Mike, I wanted to get your perspective on how the Washington Commanders have really turned this around here. New GM, new coach, Jaden Daniels seemingly on an upward trend in terms of production. In terms of how to turn around a franchise, is that really like the blueprint in terms of doing it short term?
Well, I just think, look, Dan Quinn's a great coach. I mean, had a team, you know, winning in the Super Bowl, did an unbelievable job with that Dallas defense. So, look, he's obviously a really, really good coach. And then I think as it relates to the other parts of this, you know, clearly, Jaden Daniels has outplayed Caleb Williams, much the way CJ Stroud has outplayed Bryce Young. So you get the coach, you get the quarterback. Those are two, you know, really good steps in the right direction.
You think they could struggle this weekend against the Browns defense? I know it's kind of depleted, Mike, but I still think they got pieces on that defensive side for Cleveland.
Yeah, it's a great question. Should be a heck of a game. Look, I think really what you want is Cleveland to score and score early and put pressure on Jaden Daniels to get the ball down the field. You know, the way they're playing right now, he could run, he could throw. It's really been remarkable how accurate he's been because, you know, we just talked about two great quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins not being ready. And, you know, they've had the benefit of a long career. To have Jaden Daniels come in on such short notice to do what he's doing is just remarkable. Candidly, I think he's the best quarterback right now in the NFC.
Wow. So Jaden Daniels is at the top of the line for you in the NFC right now. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN.
Tom, who are you taking over?
I mean, Mike, we've seen four games. Don't you think we have to kind of pump the brakes a little bit? No?
If you had to play one game right now to win in 2024, not based on reputation, not based on salary, but based on actual performance in the games, you know, you could put an argument maybe Dak Prescott, but I think he's outplayed every quarterback in that conference.
If you had a team right now, you wouldn't take Jordan Love over Jaden Daniels right now?
That's really close for me, actually. I mean, that's really close. And, you know, that's, you know, again, Jordan Love's been hurt. That's a really good discussion. Jaden Daniels is doing things that are historically great. Now, it's fair he's only played four games. But my point is, like, I think there's a big opportunity for this Washington franchise that's been moribund now for whatever a decade to really reclaim the narrative. And if I'm the Giants especially, and I'm looking at their quarterback against my quarterback, I'm really thinking, gosh, this could be an uphill battle.
I love Daniels' upside, Mike, but I'd still probably go with Love, Goff, Darnold, and Mayfield at this point of the year right now. Over all those guys, you'd go with Daniels.
Yeah, I'd love to play with them.
Okay.
Because I'll take a guy that's young, athletic, smart, and historically accurate. So, I think what Sam Darnold's doing is just really intriguing. I love what that to me is what the NFL is about. You know, a guy that's been, you know, an absolute, you know, disappointment journeyman. And now, like, imagine the amount of money he'll make on the open market next year. And that's what you want. Like, you want those stories in the NFL. So,
Mike, sorry, are you worried about the possible injury with Daniels? He's a bit frail. Trust me, I see it, partner. I like him and Caleb Williams a lot. I'm the one who always goes to bat for the rookie quarterbacks on the program, but I worry if he could stay healthy a little bit.
Yep, totally fair. You look at what happened in the SEC last year. He took some massive hits. I think when you talk to the people in Chicago and they're looking at reasons between, you know, player A and player B, that was a big reason for it. So sustainability is totally fair. You know, is he going to be built to last? And that's why I think like sliding will be so important, protecting himself. But I'm just blown away by his poise and his accuracy. It's really hard to play quarterback, and he's making it look easy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised by I understand singing the praises of Jaden Daniels so far, but in terms of the ranking at the moment, I think for me at least, I got to wait to see how defenses really start to adjust. 80-something percent is not sustainable. It's not going to happen throughout the entire year. So eventually, when you do hit that wall, or if there is one, I'm curious how he adjusts that. But I understand your point on Jaden Daniels been as good as ever. Mike, last thing before we kind of let you go here, I wanted to get your take. In terms of turmoil before a general manager, somebody who's in the front office, such as yourself in your career, what is the sort of, if there's a turmoil, if there's a disconnect, if there's a disagreement, or if, you know, one side's half out the door and the other side isn't, what is that between the head coach and the general manager for a lot of these franchises, whether it's a coach on his way out and there's a couple of coaches that are on the hot seat now, or if it's a GM that's on in a similar situation, if there's a disconnect between the two, how does that relationship really mend? Does it change? What's the perspective on that?
Yeah. Look, I've been on both ends of those things when things have been really good, and you know, also been on it when things aren't going well. And you really say the same thing, which is like, and you talk to players a lot about this when a season isn't going well, Colin, which is like, hey, look, at the end of the year, we all know there's the chances of changes are very high. With that said, the film you put out there is a job interview for the 31 other teams. So, you know, if you want to look at like a person that's disinterested and not competitive, keep doing what you're doing. If you want somebody that has a chance to play meaningfully for the next 3 to 5 years and be desired by the 31 other teams, go out there and be a great teammate. Rally to the ball, you know, no pre-snap penalties. But the pen's in your hand. You're writing the scouting report. What do you want it to say?
Interesting. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL Insider. We appreciate you joining us as always, Mike. Great insight. Big Jaden Daniels guy. I understand it. I think you're being a little high on him, but we remains to be seen. Maybe he continues to play great, but I appreciate you joining us today. Great job as always.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care, guys.
Mike Tannenbaum, NFL Insider on ESPN, former Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the Miami Dolphins and former General Manager of the New York Jets. Great job as always. He joins us weekly right here on Russo and Rizzo Live here, ESPN 106.3. Coming up next, a NASCAR giveaway. We did it yesterday. We're going to do it again today. 2 tickets to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Playoff and the NASCAR Xfinity Series Playoff doubleheader. It's Saturday, October 26th. At the Homestead Miami Speedway. 2 tickets we're giving away. All you got to do is get trivia correct. We're going to give you a quote, and it's either going to be a NASCAR driver who said it, or it's from the movie Cars. Not too hard. All you got to do is call in 888-760-3776. That's 888-760-3776. Call in right now, and on the flip side, we will give you a question for a chance to win 2 tickets. To the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Playoff and the NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader on October 26th, 888-760-3776. We take a quick timeout. It's Russo and Rizzo Live here, ESPN 106.3. I'm only human, y'all.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
NASCAR tickets. Who wants them? We're giving away 2 tickets to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series Playoff and NASCAR Xfinity Series Playoff doubleheader. It's Saturday, October 26th at the Homestead Miami Speedway. It's Russo and Rizzo Live here, ESPN 106.3. Mike and I are going to do a little bit of trivia. Call in for your chance to win 2 tickets. All you got to do is call 888-760-3776 and tell us if a NASCAR driver said this quote or if a Cars driver said this quote. You're not going to get the quote until you jump on with us. 888-760-3776. That's 888-760-3776 for a chance to win 2 tickets to NASCAR. October 26th. Call in right now, but we're going to go to Palm Beach Gardens, our first contestant of the day. Brian in Palm Beach Gardens, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Good, Bri.
Good. So let's get the background here really quickly. Are you a NASCAR fan?
I am a NASCAR fan. Have not been to a race, though. So.
Oh, okay. A bit riding on this, Brian. Are you a Cars the movie fan?
I have seen it, but it's probably been a good while.
I'm with them. It's probably been like a decade.
All right. So on a scale, what is your confidence level right now if you were to scale it for us?
I'll go with a 5.
Okay. Brian's playing it down the middle. Okay, I understand. So Mike's got some quotes for you. We're going to give you one quote, and it's your job to tell us if a NASCAR driver said it or if it's from the Cars the movie. You ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
All right, Mike, take it away.
All right, here we go. Is this the movie Cars, or is this something someone said in NASCAR? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. One more time, Bri. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I'm going to go NASCAR driver.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding. Good job, bro. If I had to guess that, I would have said Cars. He is correct on that. Who said that, Mike?
Junior Johnson.
Junior Johnson of NASCAR said that. Did you know this, Brian? It didn't sound like we were ultra confident. I'm going to be completely honest with you, but what was the takeaway?
I was a guess. I didn't think they would talk about cheating in Cars.
Oh.
I just thought the green guy cheated. That's why I was nervous about that. But nonetheless, congratulations, Brian. 2 tickets to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series playoff. Hang around the line. And who are you going to go with, by the way?
I'm a Larson guy, I think. That's who I'm going with.
No, but who are you going to go with to the event?
Oh, that's up for grabs. We'll see.
All right,
who's on the good list?
Go find Brian in Palm Beach Gardens if you want a chance to go on a NASCAR. Then Brian, appreciate you joining on. Hang around the line. We'll get your information. We'll get you your 2 tickets to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series playoff and next NASCAR Xfinity Series playoff doubleheader. We're going to be doing giveaways again next week and the week after. There's also going to be some stuff on social media at ESPN West Palm on Facebook. Should be a whole lot of fun. Congratulations to Brian. I'm surprised he got that.
Me too. And
not because of Brian. Nothing against you, Brian. I just thought that sounded like Cars.
I probably should have known. He really had good deductive reasoning on that, though. Like, would they really be pushing cheating?
The green guy.
No, there's always antagonists.
The green guy. What's his
Chick?
Name?
Chick?
The guy with the mustache.
Chick.
That guy's a cheater, right?
Chick. Is he a cheater? I can't remember.
A mustache guy? Now
Chick.
I'm thinking of that.
His name is Chick, guys. I know this. I'm
but
sorry.
But I think he was a cheater. I think that was part of the thing. Part of his antagonistic role in the film.
Cars 2 sucked. Cars 3 was okay.
I walked out of Cars 3 and I hated Cars 2. Cars 1 is great.
I was a camp counselor and one of our like field trips on a Wednesday was always going to the cinema. So we watched Cars 3 and it wasn't that bad.
You were a camp counselor? You went to the movies?
Yeah.
Go outside.
Listen, I didn't make the executive call. Sometimes we went to the Castle Fun Center. Sometimes we went to the movie theaters and field trip Wednesday.
Is this in New York or in Oklahoma?
This was in New York.
Okay.
As a college student.
Dude, there's nothing wrong.
Hated those.
I love going to the movies, but you don't go to summer camp to go to the movies.
AC pumping.
I don't know, man. Camp counselor. See, Kat Fairplay, you're a good kid over there, man. Honestly, camp counselor.
Worst job I ever had. Okay. Worst job I ever had.
You're not
had.
Good with kids?
Not those third graders. I cursed at the little kids.
Did they like you?
All right. Well, maybe he's not such a good person.
Yeah,
I said cut the bleep when they were playing when they shouldn't have been playing. It was lunchtime. So
you're at summer camp.
Seat.
You're at summer camp telling kids they can't play.
You pulled a Mike T.
What are they there for?
What are they there for?
They're there because their parents
it's
don't love them
camp.
Enough.
Right.
They're there because their parents don't want to spend that much time with them. That's why they're there.
Did you go to summer camp growing up?
Yeah, for a year.
Because they work. Your parents are probably working to the bone.
Because mommy and daddy wanted to go to Atlantic City. That's why they're there.
Yeah. I went to summer camp for 5 weeks of summer all throughout my childhood.
I never.
Day camp. It wasn't a sleepaway.
Never. My mother was a stay-at-home mom, and if she had something going on, it was always grandma's house. I never had to.
I loved it. I thought it was a great chance for character building. You get to build things. You get to run around. Apparently in SeaCat, it's like it's boot camp. You got to like line up at attention. And
SeaCat, I kind of have a problem with him cursing at third graders.
They deserved it. I mean,
I kind of have a problem
you
with
don't
that,
know these third
boys
graders.
Boys and girls or just
it's
boys?
Messed up.
Alex was a piece of garbage,
that's
by
messed
the way.
Boys and girls?
Dude, that's messed
yes.
up.
The girls were actually always angels. It was the boys
but
that
the
were the problem.
But the girls grouped in because you're yelling at the... You can't
oh,
yell at a third grade girls.
Listen, they were in the vicinity. I wasn't yelling at
third
them,
grade,
but they heard it.
Dude, third
you
grade
were a
dudes, I, dude, third grade dudes might be fair game. I,
no,
like,
dude, you can't. You're not... Guys... Wake up, dude.
I've met some demons that are like third and fourth
third
grade.
Third graders? You're going to scream at a third grader?
Yes, because they did one of two things. They either pretended they got hurt when they were losing in the soccer game. Mm. I'm talking to you.
You
got to
build some toughness.
Yes.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Austin from Chester, New York. Little third grade Austin.
Oh, my
probably,
God. Now he's name dropping.
He's probably in high school now. He deserves everything I'm going to give him right now, and he'd agree.
Now he's...
He was being ridiculous.
Now he's name dropping.
So, all right. It wasn't necessarily a discipline thing. It was the kid was being soft.
That's one time. Or they were just trying to get under my skin, trying to see what they could get away with, and not under my watch. No. I had to do some parenting the parents should have been done already.
I don't disagree that sometimes the kids, it's a little too free reign. And still, it's also not your job to instill discipline in a child being a camp counselor, but there's a level of, all right, you got to behave.
Someone's got to do it. These are our future here.
It's like a village approach.
Yes. Yeah, and you know what? If those kids got to cry because I yell at them and they behave better after the fact, that is a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Let me make this clear. You made somebody cry?
Yes.
Multiple?
Maybe the same kid a couple times.
I'm good with kids. So, like, you can't be screaming at a
I don't
grader,
I don't
man.
Agree with, like, the marshmallow parent. Like, you got to be tough.
Yeah, but you got to, like, I don't know how to explain it. You got to find, like, the common... Something you have in common with them. For me, it was always easy because I'd bring my Pokemon cards or something. You know what I mean? I'd bring my Switch, you know, and it would be
something
that
they... This is like the third or fourth time the Pokemon's come up today.
That they would be... But you know what I mean? It's something that kids would be relatable for. Oh my gosh, you have what?
No,
and then like,
listen, if it wasn't illegal, I'd bring a Switch too.
But as a camp counselor, how do you discipline a child then? I know you haven't done it, but like from your perspective then.
I have younger cousins and stuff, and they're now... In high school and whatnot, but you know, I was relatively older. I would discipline them more or less by explaining them what they did wrong and why it was wrong. Naturally, they're not going to listen to you. All right, naturally, they're not going to listen to you. And then another thing is like demonstrating to them why it's wrong. Demonstrating to them like
with a backhand.
No, not with a backhand. Like having them. For instance, all right, this is what I used to do.
New York in you is coming out. I love it.
This is what I, geez, oh man. This is what I used to do with my younger cousins. Like when they would say if they were misbehaving and being bad and they actually needed something, I'd pretend like I didn't hear them. You know what I mean? I'd pretend like I'm not listening. And then when they crack, I go, say you're sorry. I said, you know what you did was wrong. Now say you're sorry. And then they would say they're sorry and then lesson learned. And then we'd hug it out.
That's the Midwest in him coming out.
My parents didn't hit me, dude.
I'm not saying that. That's a secret.
Was I a ADD? Like, did I have ADD growing up and like I couldn't stop moving all the time? Yes, but like we weren't bad kids or anything. You know, my parents, they disciplined us. We didn't get hit. You know what I mean? Like
it was the summer of, I believe, 2018. I had two pretty much full-time jobs where I would be a go-kart attendant. And I'd be a camp counselor.
Too many kids.
Go-kart.
That's too many kids.
Yes.
That's too many kids. That's too many kids for one day. I don't disagree with what you're
working
about to
say. These 14-hour days where I'd go from one job to another, and those kids made it as hard as possible on me. Where I relished the time where I would be covered in oil and grease and slushy and pizza
hold
at the go-kart track.
Okay, slushy and pizza.
Like did
oil?
They go? Did they? Yeah, did they maliciously go out of their way to like screw with you? Like I don't understand.
Oh. From experience, I always... The camp counselor was target number one.
Yes, because in school, you can be actually, like, disciplined, held back, detention.
That's different.
No.
Camp counselor is free game. That's... Yeah. You go after them.
They know I'm just an older kid, essentially. They know they can get away with pretty much whatever they want. What I'm going to do is send them to the nurse. Exactly. So they went free reign.
It is fair game. You are open season for a bunch of children. Now, you never coached or anything and tried to constructively help kids?
No. The ones I liked, I was nice to, and the ones I didn't like, I was borderline abusive to verbally. They were bad people. they were bad little people, and I was trying to correct that so that when they grew they didn't become demons on society.
C-Cat, you're going to get a call.
C-Cat, they're kids. They don't know any better. They're kids.
They should.
So your job to teach them.
Yes, right?
I coached young kids in hoops, and you know what I did? That was more my establishment. It wasn't necessarily coaching, because coaching is a little more fun. I was a referee for young kids in flag football, and I called some games straight down the middle.
Yeah.
And parents, kids acting like I killed their dog. Hold on. You're out of bounds. You're offside. You can't flag guard. No problem. I don't want to hear it. Get out of here. I love it. And it's not, you can't, I'm not going to hear to be, we're playing sports. I'm not here to be, I'm not here, I'm not your guy. I'm not your friend. I'm the referee.
You also, like, with little kids too, you got to have a plan of attack. You got to, like, you got to have a game. You got to have games scheduled. You got to have, like, an activity to bring, like, team building. Like, if I were a camp counselor, I'd go in with, let's get to know everybody. We're going to play this fun game. Like, you know what I mean? Camaraderie. They'd look forward to the next time they were going. So the next time that they went, they weren't trying to screw around with you and make your life a living hell.
See, I was the opposite. See, I'll give it my personal experience. Camp counselors like Mike just described and how Mike would probably be. That, to me, is the person you got to go after, because you got to get him crack.
But I don't crack. Respected because you don't crack.
No. There's, everybody's got a breaking point. Yes. And I would make it a mission find it.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't have breaking points with third graders.
It's the camp counselor that acted like he didn't care about anything. That's the one I respected.
Climbing on the wall.
But that's,
because
but
those
that's where
are the
you're
guys.
Wrong, though.
Those are the guys I that do. You. They're just like, you can laugh with them because they don't really care.
But you make it known you genuinely care about the child that's there. You care about their well being.
Yeah, there's
and,
no
you
doubt
know,
about that.
You're interested.
I didn't.
You're
hit
guy,
by a car.
The guy that has like the guidebook. The
you're
rule
interested
book.
In what you're doing, like, and in what they're doing. You ask about like how they're doing in sports.
It's not like a misconstrued about like. Not actually caring about what's going on. It's not so caring about everything
you
like,
guys,
around them.
You guys are going to laugh, but like my experience was, I told you I have little cuts or whatever, but my mother did. You guys are familiar with Jazzercise?
Yeah,
in the 80s?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my mother.
With Travolta and Jamie Lee Curtis, and that one god-awful movie.
Well, hang on. In the 90s and in the early 2000s, Jazzercise was a thing, and the Jazzercise kids, you know what I mean? They had someone would watch them. I would be the person watching the kids. And like, they'd give me money on the side. It was a great chance to, you know, get some extra money for the summer or whatever.
Untaxed? And you didn't declare it?
Sure. Untaxed. I mean, I think I was like 15, 12 at the time. But at the same time, like from that experience, just like be invested in them. You know what I mean? Like, come up with a game plan to have, like, I remember tic-tac-toe. I played tic-tac-toe with these kids and they won.
But hold on.
The Pokemon cards,
that is all
Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
This is all good in theory. What if you just get guys that their sole mission is to make your life a living hell? Those kids exist. I was one of them. And there's a breaking point, and you can't just be like the friendly, buy the book, let's do some games all the time, because sometimes it doesn't work.
I don't know. I've never really, I guess, been across a demon like you. I was always able to find common ground to where the kids would respect me, no matter what.
Think they were secretly making fun of you behind closed doors.
Whatever. At least they were being good kids until their mom picked them up.
Your mentality works if you work in education and you actually care about these children. I was a college student who was making probably $8.50 an hour, and I was clock in, clock out, get my 30-minute lunch break where I went to Tina's Pizza.
You'd be a terrible.
I personally think that there are other opportunities to make $8.50 than as a camp counselor. I put that on you.
So your problem, too?
I put that on you. You should have never taken that job then.
All my friends did. That was the problem. I would hear the stories that my friends would say about how it was the best time in the world because their kids were great.
You know what your problem is? If you were a camp counselor and you cracked too frequently, it's too easy. And all of a sudden, like, it's like sneezing. Like, you just do it. Like, let's piss off Christian for 5 seconds.
Week two, I'm breaking stuff.
Yeah.
Enough!
So you gotta, it's like the chase, you know? People talk about the chase with, like, dating life and everything. It's like that. You gotta be a camp counselor that can break, but you don't break that easily. So it's like a big game of just, like, try to piss off the camp counselor. That was my experience, and I loved it, and it was a blast.
If I saw...
What would you do then? What would you do to piss off the camp counselor?
Ah, man, I couldn't go down the list. You know what I always did? I would always take the shoes. If their shoes were off, I'd hide them.
Why would a camp counselor take their shoes off?
You're playing in the grass. You're playing in. There was a pool at the camp I used to go to growing up. There, you'd take the shoes. Where are my shoes? I don't know. I haven't seen them. It's a Colin. I know you took the shoes. And I don't know what you're talking about. There's a breaking point somewhere, and I always found it, and I was good at it.
You didn't get strucken? You never got hit?
No.
Okay.
Because usually 20-something-year-olds don't. You know, backhand 11-year-old because he took a shoe.
I never actually touched a kid. It was all verbal. I was angry at them.
All right.
But if a child stole my shoes, I would have to take a walk.
Jesus,
I would have to take a walk and think
with
about
what shoes?
My...
You don't have any shoes on.
I would have
you
to
You have to sit there and you want your feet to get all dirty.
I'd have to call my mom and say...
Were you a demon growing up, Colin?
Yeah.
Taking shoes?
Yeah.
That...
Until high school, and then I grew up. It was fine. I learned so much from my troublemaker days. Learned so much. Ask one of my high school basketball coaches, I think, is listening. You should ask him. I made it a mission to piss people off. That's why I think I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Drew Stone, Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. Third hour coming up. We got our 5 at 5 coming up next. You listen to Drew Stone, Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.